Hello everyone, this is Mickey Eagle and I'm bringing this to you from Queensland in Australia. The main aim of my project at hand is to put together a series of books detailing all of the events that I've experienced in life. Because there were three major crimes of which I was a victim throughout my life, I've decided that I'll be putting each of them into a book all on its own. I think one whole book becomes quite involved and quite tedious. I have actually started writing, well, I'm about three quarters of the way through one of the books. It's actually the most recent crime, so the third crime that I was a victim of, and it was a crime of arson. I thought that I would detail some of the work, starting with reading a few chapters to see what everybody thinks. I'd very much love some input and details on what you think might be included or extracted or varying thoughts that you might have, etc. So I relish any input that you might give me. Here we have Chapter 1, Book 1. The siren screamed incessantly, alerting all to the emergency that was unfolding. There were fortunately very few cars on the road to impede the journey, as most people were home eating dinner or watching the 7 o'clock news broadcast. It had been threatening rain, although none had yet fallen, but the sky was very dark and thick with clouds, covering the almost full moon as though it wasn't even there. On and on the siren whined as the ambulance wound its way around the never-ending curves of the range, picking its way as carefully as possible in the darkness, until the driver glimpsed the flashes of torchlights up ahead. Slowing down, he then cautiously manoeuvred his way off the road, pulling up as close as was practical to the tangled contortions vaguely resembling cars. There were several people moving around, obviously those who had rung through the emergency call. The two officers jumped out, keen to take stock of the situation. It was serious. One glance around the scene was sufficient. They immediately knew that they needed to act quickly in making an assessment because it was blatantly obvious that they were facing major injuries in at least one of the occupants of the two cars before them. One of the cars was much less damaged than the other, and so the officers moved straight to that one to assess the injuries of the passengers. As they came closer, they saw that a male, wrapped in a blanket, was sitting with a couple of people on the dirt at the side of the road. There appeared to be no other people close by, and so it became apparent that he was the driver and sole occupant of that car. After asking a few brief questions, they moved across to the second car. Even though the driver they were leaving was injured, he was not serious and was comfortable enough, so they would move back to attend to him after they had assessed what else needed to be done. The scene they came upon now did not look at all promising. The small car had been hit almost fully head-on, with the front and driver's side rammed into a tight, disfigured ball of metal, seeming as though there was no bonnet or engine there at all. But of course there was. It had been crushed and compacted right through the engine space, bringing the tangled, twisted metal into the area that used to be the cabin of the car. The steering wheel was there in amongst that mess, and then they could see properly. There was a woman crushed into that disgustingly twisted mass of metal, with the steering wheel shoved on a distorted angle, wrenching her face into a contorted shape. She was jammed so hard between the steering wheel, the seat, and the side of her car, that there was no movement between her poor damaged body and the mangled pieces of metal and plastic that were once her car. She was still in a state of semi-consciousness, but totally unaware of the shocking state in which she was now firmly wedged. Her face was almost indescribable, twisted and maimed, crushed against the central part of the steering wheel. Jammed tight as she was, she would have been unable to move, even if she had been fully conscious. The officers immediately knew that they needed a lot of extra help without any delays, because the woman was so seriously injured that extracting her from the car was going to be a major and delicate task. Bill, the ambulance driver, headed back to their vehicle after advising that his co-worker should check to see what he could do to ascertain what sort of injuries the woman had sustained. "Oh, and also, Dave," he called back to his mate, "just try and get those headlights turned off, will you please? Not sure if you can get into the dashboard past her, but hopefully you can. On reaching the ambulance, Bill radioed for immediate assistance from the local country fire authority and his head office. Yes, definitely get them to bring the jaws of life. She's badly wedged in and there'll be a lot of metal needing to be cut to get at her, he said to the operator. The second car is not too badly damaged, and so you can just send along a tow truck to get rid of that one. We haven't as yet checked that guy's injuries in full, but he is up and moving around, so he doesn't seem to be too bad. Best you send along second ambo though, please, as we'll be full time with the CFA getting the other driver out. There are only two victims, a single driver in each of the vehicles. The chopper will be needed ASAP, although I can't tell at this stage how long it will be before we can get her cut out. We need a medic urgently though. She has sustained some really serious head trauma, and I wouldn't be surprised if it is a touch and go effort to keep her with us. Okay, location, Jembrook Avonsley Road, about 500 metres west of the Woorealec turnoff, and almost slap bang on the small bridge at the bend in the road. Bill signed out from the operator and started gathering what he needed from his ambulance. Once done, he made his way back to the red Mitsubishi. David managed to get the lights turned off, so that was good, he thought. Nothing worse than lights blaring out in the darkness on this type of job. He felt that it made for an even worse feeling about the scene. What they were now dealing with as a part of the job they least preferred, as head injuries was such a delicate matter. This, coupled with getting the victim extracted from the car, was adding up to a long and difficult night ahead. The swish of the helicopter blades was heard very quickly after Bill had radioed. Those guys were as efficient as hell, Bill thought. Almost simultaneously, both the second ambulance and the CFA pulled in close to the accident area. Dave went off with the second crew to the Black Ute, whilst Bill met the CFA crew. The medics alighted from the helicopter, making their way over to where Bill and the CFA had gathered at the front end of the red wreck. The following 2.5 hours showed the amazing fortitude of the emergency crews. They each attended to their own particular aspect of the task at hand, with the skill, efficiency, and a special type of calmness that only plenty of experience in this field brings. The careful extraction of the woman from the wreck was done with incredible precision, but it was a long and arduous job. Using the amazing piece of equipment that had been dubbed the Jaws of Life, they methodically chewed their way through the thick metal of the side pillar of the car. They then cut through the door and totally removed it, thus allowing them to gain better access to the woman wedged into the driver's seat. The two medics battled with a shockingly difficult problem. The woman's face had been crushed up against the steering wheel so badly that some major decisions needed to be made. But the results were going to be devastating no matter which choice they made. It appeared that virtually every single bone in her face was broken, and the skin from her nose area was pulled off her face and was heared in a bloody mess onto the central part of the steering wheel. To make matters so much more difficult and dangerous was the need for the careful removal of the steering wheel so that she could be maneuvered out of the car. The blood was profuse, and the medics were very concerned about the loss, as a transfusion here on site was almost impossible, given the manner in which she was wedged into the car. They desperately needed to curb the flow or she would die from the blood loss, so their only safe chance was to pack out her wounds from behind the nose and eyes with cotton swabs, easing the distorted broken bones out and away from this area, and hence stop them from piercing the blood vessels anymore. These people were experts in their field, and they did what was necessary quickly and carefully, working side by side with the CFA as they used the Jaws of Life to cut away the wreckage to give the medics better access to the work on the woman. During this ordeal, the second ambulance crew had patched up the other driver, who had only sustained a broken jaw. Horrible as it was for him, it was but a minor injury in comparison to the woman from the red car. He was taken to the local hospital for further treatment and for observation. The tow truck had removed his car and the second truck was hanging around waiting for the red car. Reminiscent of vultures, thought Bill, who, although he regularly attended car accidents, had never felt comfortable with the way in which the tow truck drivers vied for the jobs. As was always the case at accidents, and something Bill also disliked, the bystanders still stood around, gaping in awe at the proceedings. They never wanted to miss anything and were always the last to leave the scene. Of course, the property owner who had made the emergency call straight after the accident had played an honourable part, although regardless, Bill considered that they should all just go back to their homes. But people thrive on bloodshed and drama. Finally, the woman was strapped onto the stretcher and carried into the helicopter to be flown swiftly to the Alfred Hospital, being the main centre for road trauma victims, leaving the clean-up crew to do their best in removing glass and debris from the road. The police were also still left, as they needed to do a lot of their work after all and cleared away and they had a clean view of the scene. Okay, there we have the end of chapter one. Thanks very much for listening. And I'll bring another chapter to you and another podcast to you in a short while. Bye for now.